Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know the importance of nature and what it can do for our well-being. I'm talking today to Marcus Hammetts, interior designer, indoor plant stylist, and he also is an event manager, arts and entertainment extraordinaire. Marcus has done a lot in his life, but whatever he does, he brings a lot of joy. He's run workshops out in our community centres, and you'll find during our conversation, it's just one of those times when you walk away and just go, that just made me feel so good. I hope you enjoy listening to him as much as I did talking to him today. Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Marcus. It's so nice to see you here. Normally we're chatting on Sundays on 5AA, but here we are, Coast FM.
Kerry, we're unstoppable now. We're going to take over all the radio stations.
We are. Now, Marcus, I really wanted to talk to you about plants and, believe it or not, Christmas table styling, because as you know, I went to your workshop. And the reason I want to talk to you about plants is I know you have actually run workshops in the regional areas.
Yes.
And particularly tying plants into well-being. So let's start first, your love of plants. Where did this come from?
Well, you know for a fact that I'm a total plant nerd. You only need to get onto Facebook and, you know, my social media platforms and you'll see that I'm a total plant nerd. 463 indoor plants. Now, in my small two-bedroom apartment, I don't even know how I do it.
You need to teach them to water each other.
Oh, my goodness. I'm even surprised I had time to come into here today because I really should be home watering in this heat outside.
Well, let's start with, I know we have talked about this, why are plants so important to us besides the fact that, yes, they decorate, but what's so important about plants?
Well, you know what? When we really started to turn everything around was during that hideous 2020 period where we had that thing go around all the world. And the one thing that gave us kind of some solace and made us feel comfortable in this crazy bonkers world that we're now living in is nature. So we saw a massive return to using indoor plants in our homes again, especially because we were quarantining at home. And so the indoor plant game really took off again and just has not slowed down. No signs of it slowing down at all. And I grew up with plants. I used to follow my parents around the garden, my grandparents around the garden, and learned so much stuff about the plant world. So I'd always grew up kind of garnering this knowledge. So when that period happened, all of a sudden the plant industry started to really boom. I started getting a lot of questions from my friends. What kind of plant do I put here? What kind of plant do I put there? And I thought, you know what, I'm going to turn it into a workshop and start traveling around. Originally, it was just Adelaide, CBD area, but then all of a sudden it started going further and further and further, and now I'm hosting them in Port Augusta, Kimber, Port Elliot, Victor Harbour, everywhere, which is so much fun. And the reason that I enjoy working with plants in people's homes or even in their gardens is because that nurturing thing, nurturing and nature makes us feel good. Mental health is a big deal these days, and whatever we can do to keep our mental health on a good, even platform, we do it. For me, I can do it with plants, and hopefully I can educate other people to do it with plants as well. Find your joy.
That's why I really wanted to have you on the podcast, Marcus. Besides the fact that you're a very talented man and just everywhere in Adelaide, you really are in touch with nature. This whole thing about that well-being. Now, you yourself go up to Mount Lofty regularly up to the Botanic Gardens.
I've got my go-tos, definitely. And because I get heavily into the arts and entertainment industry, so I'm out going to see, you know, the big rock shows, everything, all over the place. I practically live at the Gov on Port Road. However, it's always a lot of people, a lot of craziness, and, you know, the energy is always at an all-time high, bang, bang, bang. So for me, it's always about balancing out my life. So for me to at least get into nature at least one day a week, my go-to places, like you just said, the Mount Lofty Botanic Gardens, heaven, but even the Adelaide Botanic Gardens, just absolutely beautiful, and just a hop, skip, and a jump from my home, which is wonderful, but even better, just one street over from where I live on South Terrace, there is the most gorgeous Himaji Japanese gardens with a great big reflecting pond, turtles full. And it's just a really good space where you can actually just sit, recenter yourself, recalibrate, and then wake up and get ready to do it all over again. You know what I mean?
That's a really interesting contrast because I know how busy your life is and how much you're out and about. But the fact that you do need that time out and how good it is for us, because when you think about it, I was talking to someone the other day who's a psychologist. The overwhelming amount of thoughts in our heads and access to constant information, like if you're on your phone looking at social media, you're being constantly stimulated. If you watch the news, you're probably being made to be anxious because they hardly ever promote good news. And then you have your work and then you have your family and your friends and social activities. When does your mind ever get to rest? What's important about having a restful mind? How can that help us?
Well, it is about the recentering of yourself. You know, we all live crazy lives in so many varying degrees, whether it be work commitments, financial issues, you know, children, looking after 463 plants. You know, it goes on and on and on. The pressures, all of a sudden another bill comes in and it's Christmas time. It's like, no, how am I going to cope? So it's really important just to stop. And meditation for me is really important. Meditation isn't always about sitting cross-legged and going om in the corner of the room or on a yoga mat.
Julia Roberts, Eat, Pray, Love, that's
exactly.
Me. Exactly. Has it only been 2 minutes?
That movie, fabulous. But for me, I find there's varying forms of meditation, and it's when you are by yourself. It could be going for a run around the block. It could be playing a game of golf by yourself, because it should not involve conversation with somebody to distract you. It might be reading a book, cooking, where you can absolutely still and just recenter yourself. And I get a lot of questions like, well, how do you get time to look after the plants? But that, for me, when I get to water my plants for about 2 hours on a Saturday, typically, or fertilize, check for bugs and all that, I put on some beautiful music. I walk around the home for 2 hours, just at a slow pace. And that is, for me, another form of meditation which recenters myself.
I'm talking today to Marcus Hammonds, event manager, about plant styling and arts and entertainment. Let's talk about being with other people, of which you are with other people a lot.
A lot.
And we know that loneliness is a major issue and a precursor often of mental health issues. Mm. But is it good to spend alone time, and why, do you think?
I think it's really important to spend alone time purely because that is the time that you recharge. You know, you don't recharge necessarily when you're having your dinner parties or you're down at the bar or you're off in the pool in Bali or whatever. When you're alone, you're actually able to actually start to process your thoughts properly, because you don't process your thoughts necessarily when the world is just going crazy all around you. But just having that still time where you can actually process and come up with beautiful ideas. And I always say this in my workshops, that if you've got the ability to wake up and get your head off that pillow every morning, do it with everything you've got, because there's a trillion zillion dead people that would much rather take your place. So if you can get out of that bed every day, also with good energy, your life is going to be absolutely magic. And I'm not saying that, I mean, dramas go on, everyone's got their little hurdles they need to jump over, etc. But you've still got a choice to have the best day possible. I truly believe that in your life, you're the one holding the steering wheel. Obviously, the road can take you anywhere, but you're the one that's holding the steering wheel. So you make up your mind where you want to go and do it with everything you've got.
Such a great positive attitude, Mark. That's what I love about you. And I think your workshops would bring that through as well. Walk us through what you do in your workshop. What do you do in a plant workshop?
Yeah, so cool. You know what? My plant workshops, I really educate people on what plants can do for them, can benefit them. And it's not only about just good mental health. Plants take away a lot of toxins in the air as well in the home. So when I go home at the end of the day, it is my sanctuary. It's my cocoon. It's the one place that I can 100% control. Because the moment you go out your front door, you can't control anything in your life. Let's be honest about that. But when you're at home, it's your cocoon. It's your sanctuary. It's the castle, the place that you can fully 100% have control over what is going on. You choose the music. You choose the lighting. You choose all those plants, the animals, whatever. So I really educate people on just trying to create a positive space for them to be in with my plants. And then, of course, I start to talk about if there's a lot of light coming in, if there's not a lot of light coming in, you know, what kind of plants do we put into that space? Because the last thing people do not like watching their plants slowly die, and they blame themselves. They're not actually a bad plant person necessarily. It's just they're choosing the wrong plant for that wrong location. Don't put your plants too close to the window in summer, because that heat's going to come through and burn your leaves, and all of a sudden you've got brown leaves on your plants, and that doesn't look good. It's just about educating people, you know, how much watering should happen. Obviously, you do not water a cactus as much as you water the peace lily, you know. I can tell you right now, when I go home tonight after this beautiful heat we've had today, my peace lily is going to be lying flat on the ground saying, feed me, drink me. Oh my goodness. She's like a drunk auntie, that peace lily.
That's another thing I know you talk about as well, Marcus, that there actually isn't any such thing as an indoor plant. Now, we put them indoors, but there actually isn't
so true.
An indoor plant.
100%. You know, the universe did not create indoor plants. Human beings took those plants that were outside and we've put them indoors. There's one thing. The other thing is pretty much 90% of indoor plants are tropical plants. Adelaide is not tropical. We do have our humid days, my good Lord, we do. But typically, we're not high north Queensland. We're not Northern Territory or anywhere like that. So we've already got a fighting battle, all of a sudden bringing a plant indoors. Then we've got the extra battle of putting that tropical plant indoors with no humidity. And then, you know, after a beautiful day like today, I'm going to go home and whack on my air conditioning. All of a sudden, that's going to distract the plant and upset the plant and all that. Because again, plants, like humans, you know, that's when we get our colds with incredible fluctuations of weather. But plants do not like that either. They like consistent weather. For that weather to change around that plant, going from possibly, it could be 28 degrees in my home at the moment because my house gets really hot. And then all of a sudden, within half an hour, it drops right down to about 16 degrees. And that plant will absolutely respond by telling you it's not happy, showing discoloration of the leaves, etc.
Very interesting. However, you obviously can successfully grow indoor plants, and your workshops help with that.
You can. There's always tricks and things you can do to look after. When a baby's crying, you learn what to do to make it not cry as much anymore. And when your plant's looking a bit sick or droopy, there's things you do to fix that. You know, these days, it's totally different than, you know, back in the 80s when there were indoor plants. We didn't quite have the knowledge we do now or the technology. These days, we've got grow lights. These days, we've got humidifiers. These days, we've got those sticks that tell you when the watering needs to happen or how dry the soil is or how much humidity is floating around that plant, etc. I'll tell you another little hot tip, though, grouping your plants. So if you've got three indoor plants in your home, instead of having one over there, and then one behind me, put them all together and create a bit of a visual interest there.
They're a bit social, these
plants. Make it all social, but they actually help each other and create that little microclimate, and they all benefit from being with each other. So if you are going to be playing with the air conditioning and the heating and whatever, don't even start about fireplaces. That's another whole shenanigans. That's winter plant care. You know, if you're going to do that, safety in numbers, that's the trick.
Well, I think you've got to have a plant party.
I know, forget the Tupperware party. We're going to have plant parties.
Marcus, that brings me to another talent of yours, in fact, a major talent of yours, and that's interior design, which has been very much your background, your lecturer at TAFE. But you also do Christmas styling for tables. And I went to a workshop of yours that I just loved. It was actually held down at the City of Charles Sturt.
That was down at the Walkerville Library, that one, yeah.
And what I loved is you very much thought about cost of living. Can you share some tips with us?
Yes, absolutely. If you've got the opportunity of having, let's say, a Christmas party, you know, it's a one-day kind of a year thing, so have some fun with it. You know, the rest of the days of the year when you're setting your tables, you know, put down your plate, put down your knife and fork, and, you know, away you go. But if you're having a bit of a family affair, whether it be a 21st or a high tea baby shower, that kind of stuff, have some fun. You know, really layer it all up, because literally it's only going to be there for a couple of hours, so it's not going to get too much for you. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't do that on a regular basis, obviously. But if you're having a little affair, a dining table, play it up and like give all the guests a bit of a treat, you know. Don't give it just like a little centerpiece. Turn the whole table into a centerpiece. Go nuts. Have some fun with it. It's your one chance to let loose a little bit. You don't have to spend lots of money either, like you saw at the workshop. A lot of my stuff, I just collect as we go along. A lot of my stuff is upcycling, recycling. Nothing's wrong with the Kmart giftware section, even in the little party section. If you mix the right things with the other right things, you can actually really create really beautiful visual looks without making it look like it's all from the cheap shop. You know what I mean? It's about being clever and saving your money, because, you know, good Lord, we need to save our money these days, don't we?
We certainly do. It was a very enjoyable workshop, something also that community centres could run, both the plant workshop and the Christmas styling, or it could be any event styling for your table. So, Marcus, let's put on your other hat, big hat, which is arts and entertainment.
My other passion.
Marcus is deeply connected to the arts and entertainment world. Said we chat regularly, but again, that's something that's good for your mental health, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, seriously, as a child, I remember my escapism as a child was, and it probably still is now, music and the garden. For me, music, and I was really fortunate enough that my parents were massive music fans. I remember growing up with Elvis constantly, and that was back in the day with the vinyls. Thank goodness vinyls are back now. But I remember Elvis always being on the turntable. Don't Hate Me, it was Mum's Decision, but Mark Holden as well. And then Dad would play Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand, Boney M. Oh my goodness, I remember all the parties we used to have at my house, Mum and Dad's house, and you know, the vinyl would just get a total workout with all these incredible artists. So my love of music definitely came from my parents and my early days. These days, tell me there's a show on somewhere and I'll be there. I don't mind.
And he does, not just one show. He's been known to go to up to four in a night.
Naughty me. But I don't care if it's pop, if it's rock, if it's blues, if it's punk. If it's music, I find the love and joy in it all the time. It's really great. I have so much fun.
Now, Marcus, the Fringe is coming up and we'll be talking about that in our regular chats. But importantly, what I love about the Fringe is it's very much now not just city centric. It's gone right out to the regions. And in fact, some of our community centres host Fringe shows. What do you see as that importance of getting that spread of music out to people?
I think it's absolutely wonderful because a lot of those regional areas don't always have the ability to come down to the city. And this has only really been the last good few years now. But a lot of these artists are going out to the regional areas, whether it be the Barossa or even further. And then obviously the rest of Australia as well. And taking the music to the people. And it's working. I mean, they're getting really big numbers out there.
Now, 64, they did some country work.
The 64.
Great band.
Oh, aren't they though? They're just terrific.
Tell their story. Local Boys, it's a great story.
Local Boys. So the 64, well, they actually started off as a class of cabaret, so which is a program that Adelaide Cabaret Festival put on, nurturing the youth who want to become cabaret stars or performers in general. Anyway, so these four lads all did the class of cabaret. They just did tremendously well out of it and then created this show called The 64, which is all about, you know, that old school 60s music, whether it be, again, Elvis.
Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Just wonderful. The Beatles even, American, English, and even a bit of Australian 60s rock as well. But just terrific. And they're sharp-suited, aren't they? And
they are. Oh, great dance moves. Their harmonies and melody.
The choreography.
Incredible.
Like, how on... Because their voices are pretty... We're not talking, oh, you can sing. They can really sing.
And like, what's fabulous now is that they're now getting gigs on cruise ships and interstate, and they're starting to grow. But what's important is that we support local acts like this. And a lot of the centres want to engage youth, Marcus.
Yep.
And you would have seen yourself, they start as young men.
Yep.
With music that wasn't of their era, but everyone loves that era.
Oh.
And they have had local support.
Yeah. And you know, that's the other thing. This is what I really am heavy about. A lot of people come down on people that do cover music or tribute shows, etc. But when you think about some certain artists, like let's say Tina Turner, for example, unless there are other artists out there covering the Tina Turner songs or doing the Tina Turner tribute shows, we're not going to have Tina Turner's music with our generations that are coming along. You know what I mean? So I think it's really important that these, you know, these incredibly talented artists are always reminding us of the old music. Otherwise, it will be forgotten. Could you imagine a time where no one knows Marilyn Monroe anymore? You know, so we shouldn't allow certain things just to go by the wayside. Always bring it to the forefront and let the young children that are growing up and coming along know about all this stuff, and it will never die. The music should never die.
Music should never die. But that's a great point about if the young people aren't singing the songs, they will forget them. Isn't it incredible? Whereas you speak to young people, ask them some of their favourite, the Beatles. How does every young person know the Beatles?
Yep.
ABBA. And as you said, if there weren't the tribute bands reliving that music, because vinyl isn't around, they may never... Where would they find that song?
Exactly, exactly. Because you know what? You don't go through your parents' record collection anymore. Unless you come to my house, because I've got thousands of them now. But, you know, typically, parents don't have their record collections anymore, so children can't just flick through that and be like, oh, that looks like a really cool cover, I'm going to play that, which is what I used to do. Because now if a kid goes on to Spotify, there's so much on Spotify, it's impossible to find something you've never heard of before on there, because it just doesn't work that way.
And you can't find old stuff. It's a bit like that with movies, isn't it? I can't stand. You just go to the old video store and you could get 5 weeklies and watch old movies. Well, now, how would you even know what an old movie
exactly.
was?
Exactly. So we need to always promote the past, especially when it's good quality stuff as well. Make sure we never, ever forget that.
Marcus, just as a last comment, your enthusiasm, infectious positivity, what can you leave with listeners so that they can think about their everyday lives? Because you do put a spark in everybody's day, whomever you connect with.
I truly believe you have a choice every single day how you're going to spend it. Regardless of my thought, it is either always going to rain outside or it's always going to be sunny outside. I can't change that. But how I walk out that front door into the rain is what I can control. So on the greyest, cloudiest, rainiest, windiest day, I can still have a choice to have a great day. You know what I mean? I'm not going to waste a moment whinging and moaning and, you know, carrying on just because of what the weather may be doing. And you know what? I can guarantee you the bills will keep on coming in. Bills aren't just going to magically stop. But if you open that letterbox with gratitude or open that email box with gratitude and thankfulness that you've actually got the ability to do so, do it with joy. Find your joy in every single minute because it's up to you. It can't be given to you.
Well, I can assure listeners I've known Marcus for some time now and he certainly brings joy to my life. And if you'd like to connect with Marcus, because he has not only his entertainment, he also has the plant side. So please let us know how listeners can find out more about
it. Yeah, so the entertainment side is www.onyourmarcus.au. And the plant website is www.thebotanicdesigner.com.
And of course, we'll have all of Marcus's details on our website and bio. But I would strongly recommend to community centres to get Marcus along to present a workshop. He's a breath of fresh air, brings that joy, and you'll learn a lot too. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.